Podcast. That's the world according to football and cheese experts. Evening, Phil.
Evening, Mike. Again in our sweat boxes.
Absolutely. It's this global warming thing's not going well at the moment, is it?
It's not at all. My father-in-law, actually, he's on a cruise and he's been to Iceland and it's 10 degrees at the moment, which sounds bliss. But I were wondering, do you think Icelandic's going bloody global warming? Because like, should it be like minus two or something?
Well, I went to Iceland as well. Came back with some frozen chicken tenders. I tell you what, it's a good shop to go into in this weather. You just go and lie down in the freezer.
Can see Mike's having a long drink. What are you having a drink of, Mike?
Tonight I have gone completely against the grain. In fact, I've gone for the grape. And I'm drinking wine tonight, and I can't remember what it's called. It's got a French name or something, but because it's got a picture of a chicken on the label, we just call it chicken wine. So I'm drinking a chilled glass of chicken wine. What about yourself, Phil? What are you drinking tonight?
Well, before I started, this glass had about 8 ice cubes in it. There's about 4 remaining. I'm just drinking water because I'm too hot. It's too hot today.
Cannot fault you.
Right then, shall we get this show on the road?
Let's do it.
So, Mike, we'll start with England, Mexico. First was the storm. Mexico had decided that the drama should begin before anyone had even touched a football. The weather rolled in, the pitch needed attention, and the scheduled kickoff became a 2 a.m. start for viewers in the UK. It's that kind of hour where you're not sure if you're waiting for a match or testing the limits of your endurance. Turned into a debate whether you were silently applauding things in your front room because everyone's in bed. But anyway, we're watching the game. 90 minutes had come. Board went up. 11 minutes of added time. 11, Mike. I don't know what annoyed me more, but we were holding on or I'd stay awake for another 11 minutes. Anyway, that stage time had stopped being a measurement. It became a threat. Jed Spence was on the floor. Dan Byrne was heading balls into the opposition half, and England were treating every clearance like it was a small victory. John Stones rolled one agonisingly wide of his own goal. How many different ways can a team find a way to raise your heart rate? It was an exhausting half hour of football. I thought where Harry Kane would lose his voice afterwards. But before all of that, there'd been another game entirely. Mexico had gone close. Pickford was excellent. Was this going to be comfortable? Were England about to stroll through this? Oh, obviously not. Quinones produced a brilliant volley to pull one back after Jude Bellingham had scored 2 goals in 2 minutes. And Jude had come up again before half-time with a goal-saving clearance. Half-time arrived and the instruction was simple. Nothing silly. Just control. Get through it. Naturally, within minutes, everything became silly. Kansar, who had had an excellent, mistimed his challenge. He slid his foot over a football and into a Mexican player. Looked horrible on the replays. Red card came out and suddenly the whole thing changed. Panic. And then Gordon went down in the box. Harry Kane stepped up. No fuss, no drama. Just the calmness of a man who takes penalties in his sleep. It would all be fine if we could stay awake, except this is England at the Azteca. VAR that had spent the previous weeks making itself rather scarce. Suddenly it remembered it had a job. Kane's straight kick was spotted and a penalty awarded to Mexico. Raul Jimenez does not miss them. And then came a panic for England fans. Players collapsed at the end, completely spent. And yes, don't worry, there is balance here. Not everyone supports England. So first, here's Carla with the Mexican perspective.
Hola, this is Carla from Monterrey, Mexico. What a game. Unfortunately, Mexico's World Cup journey came to an end after a 3-2 loss to the Three Lions. The whole day felt different. You could feel the nerves everywhere, but at the same time, the entire city was behind the team. Since the World Cup began, there's been a phrase you'll see everywhere in Mexico, ECC. It basically means, what if this really is our year? It became a symbol of hope. And this team gave us so much to be proud of. They won 4 matches before this one, didn't concede a single goal until they faced the English team. And players like Quiñones, Lira, Alvarado, Mora gave their all. The match had absolutely everything. Great goals, so much tension, an incredible atmosphere, excitement, heartbreak, every emotion you can imagine. At one point, I just wanted to stop watching. And then Mexico scored twice. Suddenly, all the hope came rushing back, and for a few minutes, it felt like anything was possible. In the end, the English won, so congratulations. I also think Mexico won something just as important, the respect of football fans around the world. What makes me really happy is that even though Mexico isn't hosting any more matches, the World Cup atmosphere is still everywhere. The remaining games are being shown on giant screens across the city with live music, food, and thousands of fans watching together. I actually be at the Fan Fest on Saturday to watch the match there. I absolutely love being Mexican, and England had better go on and win the World Cup. Otherwise, these loss will hurt even more. And if not, well, I guess I'll be cheering for Spain or maybe Norway. I don't know. Hasta la vista. Bye.
So that was Carla there talking about Mexico. What did Nikolai make of England's performance?
All right, fellas, this is Nikolai reporting about England, England versus Mexico, which is, it has to be the craziest game that I've ever seen for England. And I watched it in like the craziest way as well, because it obviously, we got, I think the report came in at about midnight that it was going to be delayed for an hour. So I went to sleep. I set an alarm for 2 a.m. And then when I woke up literally at 2 a.m. Alarm went off, and I put the match on my tablet in bed. I watched the whole game in bed on my tablet lying down, which I've never done before, but somehow it just sort of felt quite right. The game itself was, I mean, how do you describe that game? It was insane. Bellingham's 2 quick goals, which sort of felt immediately just so amazing and just like seemed to release a lot of pressure. And then obviously Mexico got one back. And then the second half, obviously, the red card was just immediately like, well, you know, my heart sunk, because I thought this is going to be so difficult now. Maybe we can hold out for a draw. And obviously, Gordon won the penalty, Kane converted, and I thought, man, this gives us such a good chance now. Even with 10 men, just, you know, a little bit of space that we might just, you know, we might just do it. And then obviously we immediately conceded a penalty as well. But I think this game, I mean, Tuchel got it exactly right? He got all the subs right, got every single sub right, he got all the tactics right, he closed up shop when he needed to, and all the guys just played so well. So amazing. What a win. I can't believe it. And now we have Norway, and that is going to be another rough game. But again, I think it's one that is possible that we win. I think we're looking decent. We're looking like a proper team, and that's, I think, all that we can ask for. And it's a performance I hope that we go on with in our minds, so that we can keep doing that.
So we have it, England are through. Was it comfortable? Absolutely not. Was it controlled for about 20 minutes, maybe? Next comes Norway. Mike, after all the drama, delays, the red card, the penalties, sleep deprivation, how are you feeling about England now?
I make a confession.
Do it.
I didn't watch it live. When I realised, there was the first decision that might have brought it through early mid-evening for us, which should have been brilliant. But then, of course, they overturned that one and said, no, we'll risk it. We'll go for the 1 a.m. kickoff. And then as soon as they said that, I thought, well, that's not going to change the weather. So the kickoff's going to be delayed. I knew it was going to happen even before they announced it. So 2 o'clock kickoff. No, I'm not going to stay up for that one. So what I did was I actually set it to record overnight. My alarm was going to go off at 6 o'clock in the morning anyway. So the alarm went off at 6 o'clock. I immediately jumped up, avoided all social media, everything, went straight to the telly and put it on. And I watched it that morning before I saw anything else. And the beautiful thing about that is as well is that the recorder that we've got allows you to play back at double speed. So in all the boring bits and all the stoppages and everything like that, I could just fast forward through those. And I didn't have to, as soon as the action started again, I could put it back to normal speed. I could skip through the half time breaks. I could skip through the hydration advert breaks. So I was able to watch it in a considerably shorter amount of time than most people, which is a good thing as well, because I don't think my heart could have taken it. I mean, best game of the tournament by a country mile.
Well, I don't know if it's recency bias, but it's probably the best game I've ever seen, watched England.
Yeah, definitely the best England performance. And it was brilliant. I just loved it. The quick fire double by Bellingham is the point at which you think, actually, we could do this. This might be on the cards, even against Mexico on their home territory and everything like that. There's a chance now. We've got a 2-goal lead. And of course, we immediately lost the 2-goal lead, went in 2-1 at half time. But that red card, I mean, we saw it from so many angles and so forth. And yep, he went over the top of the ball. Studs were there. Of course, he's going to get sent off. Can't argue with that. To now find out that they've actually given him a 2-match ban for serious foul play or dangerous behaviour, I can't remember which it was. I look at that and think that suggests that there was intent. And I didn't see intent at all in that. I saw an accident or, you know, an unfortunate situation where the foot went over the ball and ended up cracking the other guy. So yes to a red card, but unintentional as far as I could tell. But I'm not the expert. I don't have the benefit of all of their tools. So yes, he got sent off. Can't argue with it. Maybe a bit harsh, maybe not. I think he had to go. But then to see the penalty awarded against Kane. Now that was harsh, because looking at that, he got the ball first regardless. He kicked out, he got his toe on that ball. And then it was only because the other guy got his foot in the way that he got kicked. And it's like, that is as harsh as it gets.
I did have a sinking feeling, I thought, with the red card. We've been here a lot with England, haven't we? I mean,
yeah.
The red card, I thought, oh dear. And then the Kane penalty, I thought, oh dear again. I thought we weren't going to win, Mike. I thought we'd stuffed it.
Every time we got that 2-goal lead, it was like, there's a chance here. And then, of course, they peg us back another one. So, but at the end of it, I think that was an amazing match. And I think it was a credit to both teams, because we were trying to play the England game, but Mexico were just so full of spirit, so full of fire. They weren't going to let it go. And they were playing their hearts out. And it just made it a fabulous game to watch. So much better than watching what Paraguay were trying to do with all their negative stuff and all their dirty tactics and things like that. That was not an enjoyable watch. But the Mexico-England game, I think I might not be quite as effusive in praise if we'd have lost. But I've got to be honest. But I think they played a fabulous game, and I was really, really pleased to be able to watch it. So, yeah.
Good stuff. We move on. Canada versus Morocco.
And thank you, by the way, just before we go on, thank you for getting these little voice notes from around the world. I mean, this is an amazing little thing that two normal blokes from Yorkshire are actually finding people on the global audience and getting them to send in these little clips and these little match reports and these little bits of information. It's fabulous to hear them. I'm so pleased, so proud. And let's hope this carries on right to the end of the tournament.
Absolutely. We've got more voice notes for you as well, Mike. So Canada versus Morocco. For every team that makes it through, there's another team whose World Cup journey comes to an end. And for Canada, their first ever knockout appearance at a men's World Cup ended against Morocco. It wasn't the ending that they would have wanted. Morocco were clinical. Canada found themselves chasing the game, and a 3-0 scoreline brought the curtain down on a historic tournament for the Canadians. Maybe the biggest story isn't the defeat, it's the fact that Canada got as far as they did. A team building something, a nation embracing a tournament, and a group of players creating memories that will last a long time. Here's Amanda with the Canadian perspective.
Hello, this is Canadian Amanda, all the way over in Frankfurt, Germany. Yes, Canada is indeed out. However, I think the majority of Canadian supporters really didn't expect us to go this far. I think at the beginning of the competition, we had the expectation to leave right in the group stage. For a lot of us, we're really proud to have made it this far. I'll remind you, Germany did not, but Canada did. And I think this gives us a little glimmer of hope that football is going to be a sport taken a lot more seriously. There's going to be a lot more interest in Canada when it comes to football. And hopefully you'll see us there in the next World Cup. I did mention Germany. Over here in Frankfurt, I think a little bit of the interest has gone now that Germany's not there anymore. But the support for the other nations is still going really, really strong. For that match with Canada and Morocco, here over in Frankfurt, we had fireworks. It was still daytime here, but the fireworks were going off from the Moroccan supporters. It was quite intense. We still get the cars circling around the city, honking their horns after wins. And maybe this coming weekend, maybe that'll be me still over here supporting England. I'm nervous, but hopeful.
And I think Amanda sums it up perfectly. Canada will look back and wonder what might have been, because once you get to the knockout stages, you're always going to want more. But it was a landmark moment. Mike, when you look back at Canada's tournament, is this a case of a team that should be disappointed or just proud of how far they've come?
I think they should be immensely proud of how far they've come. I mean, we are seeing nations that aren't traditionally regarded as footballing nations actually coming good and putting in the performances when they're needed. And that's exactly what Canada have done. You know, we recognise one or two of the names from watching English and European football, but to know that they've brought together a squad of players and have produced a team that can actually get through the group stages and into the knockouts, that in itself is no mean achievement from a country that doesn't have a history of playing football. So I think they should be immensely proud of it. And I really, really hope that it inspires a new generation of young Canadians to look at football and think, yeah, I could do that.
Definitely. I hope they have the same legacy as USA 1994 had for, well, USA. Talking of the USA, we'll turn to a now more controversial game, Belgium versus the USA. Have Belgium ever enjoyed quite so much support from neutrals? By the final whistle, they comfortably dispatched the United States. A first-half brace put them in control before the Americans unravelled with Matt Friese's costly mistake, Tim Ream's unfortunate error, and Romelu Lukaku doing what he has done so often in a Belgium shirt. It was a result that should have dominated even the headlines. Instead, much of the discussion centered around the controversy surrounding the tournament, which is claims that intervention from the US president had influenced to the decision to rescind a red card from before this game. Whether fair or not, the perception of political interference inevitably overshadowed the football. Anyway, that's enough from me. We're going to hear the Belgian perspective with Nikolai, and then we're going to hear what the American view is.
All right, fellas, this is Nikolai here reporting the Belgium game. The Belgium game, it was at 1 a.m. It wasn't too bad. It was late, obviously, but not too bad. And going in this, I was a little bit apprehensive because Belgium hadn't been playing well. You know, like, we left it really late against Senegal. And we just felt like a little bit underwhelming at times, like we were missing a gear. And the US, to be fair, even though I don't think they looked amazing, they looked quite coherent. And, like, they were obviously feeding off the fact that they were, you know, they were drawing home crowds. But clearly, man, that red card incident, it got under their skin, clearly. They came out with the sort of the focus that we've been missing thus far. And I can't see that. It must have made a difference because they seemed so up for it, like we haven't seen yet. And it was amazing. The Keitelaere scoring two goals. US defence was nowhere. It was shocking. They got a very lucky free kick that I don't think should have been a free kick. And then they got a massive deflection. So they got a little bit lucky going straight in. And then the second half, man, that third goal, I could not believe what I was seeing. It was one of the weirdest goals I think I've seen at a World Cup, surely. It's up there. It's got to be up there. Not only the keeper just, you know, trying to kicking the floor and then losing the ball, but also the US defender, Ream, sort of watching the ball sail by as Belgium scored. It was such a bizarre goal. And then, of course, to top it all off, my boy Lukaku doing what he does best. I think this is the third game in a row maybe that he's now had one shot on target and one goal. He just gets it done, man. He gets it done. And seriously, I think you knew the US was in trouble when they brought Lukaku and Doku on as subs. Those are good subs that you can make. So again, playing against Spain next round, that's going to be hard. They've not conceded yet. And I struggle to know how good Spain are because they play good football, obviously, very fluent. They're also so unexciting. And I think it's hard to sort of gauge just exactly how good they are at the moment. I don't think they're at top level. So I think Belgium can still, you know, do some damage. I think Belgium could score against them at the very least. But we'll see. It'll be a hard game. It'll be a very hard game. Looking forward to it, though.
And here's Ivan with the US view.
So the USA played their worst game at the worst possible time. And it's impossible to separate what happened before. Clearly, it was breaking the rules to have Fuller and Balogun's red card not apply to this game. As much as I didn't like the red card, clearly it was a rule violation. Clearly, Trump meddling is a problem. And I understand why the rest of the world rallied against the United States harder than they have since 2016. Or maybe even sooner than that in certain cases. But anyway, the tournament itself, before that, the USA played very well, but of course, Belgium was the best team they played against, so it's pretty much expectations. Round of 16 exit, same as usual.
So, Mike, what to unpick there? What do you have to think about that?
I mean, you can hear the disappointment in Ivan's voice as he reports back, so thank you for putting that one into digital format and sending it through to us. There is a problem that if the rules are applied, nobody can complain. If the rules are applied fairly and consistently, nobody can complain. But if the rules are applied inconsistently and appear to favour one or another, particularly when you have somebody whose sole purpose seems to be putting the me in America, then that just throws petrol on the bonfire. And seriously, in this world of global warming, the last thing we need is more petrol being burnt unnecessarily. So,
It was sad because the Americans had played so well as well. They didn't even need that.
Americans have shown some good football, but they also haven't come up against world-class opposition.
Yes.
They've, with the best will in the world, had not the easiest of rides, but they it's been the middle to lower tiers of football that they've faced. As soon as they faced a top-tier team, Belgium just showed the weaknesses in their team and how easy it was to unpick them. And Ketelaere, I've seen him play at club level, and he is quite special as well. So he's one to watch out for the rest of the tournament. Lukaku, two tournaments ago, was absolutely electric. And he's not lost any skill, but he might have lost a few yards of pace. But Ketelaere, I don't want to come up against him anytime soon. So, yeah, he's performed well at exactly the right time. And you can tell that from the news stories of how the Belgian team celebrated after the game, that the politics behind it was foremost in their minds as well. So, you know, it's unfortunate that all of the host nations are now out of the tournament, but I think we're just seeing the strongest teams going through at the moment, and that's got to be good for the tournament because it really will show who the best of the best is.
Belgium go on to play Spain on Friday. Very much looking forward to that one. And then, lastly, one last voice note for you, Mike. And we go on to Norway. Norway's World Cup has gathered momentum as it's gone on. After a heavy opening defeat to France, they bounced back with wins over Senegal and Iraq to reach the knockout stages. Then came the result that made everyone sit up and take notice. Brazil were beaten. Now it's England's standing between Norway and a World Cup semi-final. And we've got Emma, who is an England fan, but now calls Oslo home. So we thought she'd be the perfect person to tell us what the mood is like right now in Norway ahead of Saturday's game.
Hello from sunny Oslo. I'm Emma and I live in Norway, but I am originally from the UK. I am feeling very nervous for the game this weekend just because, listen, being completely honest, my head is saying I need to support England, but my heart is saying I need to support Norway. But hear me out. This is because the atmosphere in the city and the entire country is unreal. Like, I don't think anyone expected Norway to get this far. So they have basically the entire city booked out for like free live viewings of the game. And at 2 a.m. when we won against Brazil, like, I can only describe the vibes were unmatched to anything else I've ever experienced in Norway and the UK as well for football. So I think really I'm the real winner, because whoever wins, I'm going to be happy. But being in Oslo and experiencing everything going on at the moment, it would be a bit of a shame if it was to end. But like I said, really, I'm the winner, because whoever wins, my heart and my head are in it. Hello.
So you can follow Emma. She's Brit in Oslo if you're on Instagram. Emma, living this tie from both sides, Mike, are you confident? Are England even favourites?
Well, a lot of people call Norway a one-man team because of Haaland. That's unfair. They've got a lot of quality players in there, not least Martin Odegaard, of course.
We're a two-man team, Odegaard
and Haaland. But they are more than that. And I mean, the amount of social media stuff that's on Haaland at the moment, there's a lot of very funny stuff about, but it also shows the kind of guy he is. And he appears to be a very genuine, very nice guy, as well as being like a 9'3" Viking. So I think we stand a chance. I think if we can play our game, if we get a chance to play our game, we are in with a shout for it, no doubt about it. I think if we were to go out to anybody that we are likely to face going forwards in the tournament, I would like to go out to Norway, because they are the sort of team that you're not embarrassed to lose to, and there's no history there with you either. Hell, they're the only team to ever go up against Brazil and come away unbeaten over the entire footballing history of their nation. So, you know, losing to the team that's never lost to Brazil, can't argue with that. But yeah, it's going to be a fun match. Scared about Haaland. Very, very scared.
Haaland nice leads, of course.
Absolutely. So every single goal that he scores counts one for England as well. sorry, I'm using Trump logic there. It's going to be a fun match. I know it's going to be a fun match. Yeah, I will watch this one live because it's on at a much more sensible time of day. And we'll see where we go. I mean, it's possible as well, because on Monday I go away on holiday. I'm going away to Barcelona for a week. And it's possible that on the Tuesday, Spain will be playing in their semi-final if they get through. And then on the Wednesday, England will be playing in their semi-final if they get through. Thank God we're not playing each other in that period of time. But yeah, it's possible that I will be in Barcelona on two consecutive days where World Cup semi-finals are being played. So that could be very entertaining as well. Fingers crossed, we'll see how it goes.
Well, we expect your live voice note, Mike, while you're there, then.
Me running away from the locals at top speed. I'm an Englishman in Barcelona. So
something like that. Well, I think that's us for this round of the World Cup. Looking forward to England's fixture at the weekend. Looking forward to heatwave stopping, Mike.
Yeah, a little bit of cool. Well, being in Barcelona, the heat's going to follow me around. But thank God I'm going to be in a city where the buildings are designed to keep the heat out, not keep it in.
Absolutely. And on that note, we'll catch you next time. See you later, Mike.
Cheers now. Bye.
Bye.